Welcome to
the Youth for Youth podcast
from the Walrus Lab,
a podcast that's for youth
and by youth.
Hi, I'm Ziga Poramon, and I'm your host this week. On this week's episode, we're talking about the youth leadership in the arts.
It's really important for youth leadership to talk to artists, to understand the current climate, to empathize with artists, to take the opportunity to really recognize the impacts that this is having, and not just the impacts that it's having, but also how we can really use these negatives to turn them into positives. And if anything, if we ever experience something like this in the future, how do we take from what we've learned from to ensure that we can create infrastructure, we can create opportunities that withstand another pandemic? Despite another global crisis that happens, artists can still continue to make money.
Today, we're unpacking the future of youth leadership in the arts industry with Ontario's first Poet Laureate, author, arts educator, and community leader, Randell Ajay. We're going to analyze the landscape of the arts and how we, as youth, can change it using leadership skills. The more we can grow as individuals and learn to support each other, the better we can lead the arts industry into a prosperous future. So get comfortable and enjoy a conversation about what the future of leadership will be like in the arts. So, based on your personal experiences, what are your thoughts on the current state of leadership in the arts industry?
My thoughts on the current state of the arts industry, it's interesting because during COVID, a lot of us had to figure out other ways, and the word of the year, the word of the last couple of years, pivot. And we had to find different means and different ways to express our art or to find different opportunities. So I think there's something quite beautiful about having to figure out and learn other areas to make money or to express yourself or to connect with the community. But I think the state right now is both positive and negative. And I think positive in the sense that we've become more innovative. We found new ways to collaborate, to include technology in the work that we do and how we showcase, express, or create the art that we create. And I think that's positive. It's taught us to connect in other ways. Having gone through some difficult things over the last 2.5 years, I think it's given room for more stories. It's given an opportunity for more ways to share traumatic experiences. We realize that mental health has been a big thing that many of us are now talking about. It's now become a little bit trendy and kind of cool to talk about mental health coming out of COVID and the pandemic. And I think some of the negatives is that we did lose some venues and spaces where we were able to showcase art. We lost some folks, some really creative people who weren't able to keep up with the changes and the demand of being an artist during this time. And so some people have had to go back to the workforce. But in a nutshell, I think the state is positive. There's a positive movement that's happening in developing the art sector back to where, even further than where it was.
Do you think that the current economic climate has affected popularity of getting into the arts? And if so, how?
I think the current climate has really affected the popularity, mainly because the economy in and of itself is more demanding than ever. I live in Toronto, for example, and the housing market is really expensive. If you're going to be an artist and you want to buy a house, you better be a really good, not just a really good, you can be a really extremely good artist. But are you making the funds in order to build to that next level, to really be able to invest in yourself further long term? So I think the popularity of it has quite changed. Like I said, we've lost some folks who just weren't able to continue to shift and adapt to what was coming and how things have changed. But in the same breath and the same token, I do feel as though the popularity has also really shifted because art is changing. It's not what it was pre-COVID. And I think it's really been, on a personal level, a lot of us as artists dealing with ourselves, dealing with traumatic experiences, dealing with a lot of mental health challenges. And I think the popularity is, it's definitely changed, definitely shifted. And I don't think it is what it used to be prior to.
How can youth leadership change the landscape of the arts industry?
I feel like youth leadership can really change the landscape of the arts industry simply based on really understanding the current state that we're in. So just thinking about some of the questions you've asked as far as popularity and just the shift in the arts community, I feel like the best thing youth leadership can do is to take the opportunity to better understand what is happening around the current climate. There are people that are benefiting and also people that hurt from the lack of arts being created. There are beneficiaries of artists leaving the industry. Like, there's benefits on both sides. So for me, when I really think about the current state that we're in, it's really important for youth leadership to talk to artists, to understand the current climate, to empathize with artists, to take the opportunity to really recognize the impacts that this is having, and not just the impacts that it's having, but also how we can really use these negatives to turn them into positives. And if anything, if we ever experience something like this in the future, how do we take from what we've learned from to ensure that we can create infrastructure, we can create opportunities that withstand another pandemic, that despite another global crisis that happens, artists can still continue to make money, to thrive, to create in a meaningful way.
Could you explain how your program, RISE, as well as your motivational speaking, impacts your community?
So with RISE, it impacts the community in a number of different ways. Just thinking about it, it makes me smile. It was created simply out of a need, a void. And the void was there was just a lack of safe spaces to express ourselves in a positive way, especially in my community in Scarborough. Scarborough is the eastern part of Toronto. It's its own township that was amalgamated in 1999. And so often a lot of really creative, talented people have come out of this place. And what often happens is we are kind of forgotten. So RISE was created to create a platform that never existed before, a safe space that allowed artists to really express themselves in a positive way, connect and build community, and also to build artistic skills and professional development that really helped them. So when I think about RISE, it wasn't just a platform, it wasn't just a space, but the opportunities that it opened for so many different artists I never knew it existed before. But I think something I would share to any listener is, in order to do work in our communities to really benefit people, we have to understand and we have to put ourselves in their shoes. We have to really take the time to work with them and not for our community. Anything we do has to be with the community. If you're looking to benefit individuals, you really have to take the time to walk them through the steps and work with them to create a solution and not work on their behalf or to take an idea from them and run with it. You have to build with the people. And I think that's what's really made RISE so successful. My motivational speaking, I think it benefits because I often like to go out there and to show people that vulnerability is a strength, that it takes a lot of bravery, that it takes a lot of courage. And I think as artists, we have to be vulnerable with ourselves to produce some really masterful work, to really be honest with ourselves. So I, through my motivational speaking, like to really encourage vulnerability, to remind people that, you know, it's okay to be vulnerable, that your vulnerability is what makes you authentic and beautiful. That's what people are looking for. They're looking to learn about your true self. And I think that's how my motivational speaking and RISE has really impacted the community.
Yes, I love that. So do you think that young people are heavily involved in leadership roles in the arts? And if not, how can they become leaders?
I don't think we have enough young people who are heavily involved in the arts or in leadership positions. I think we need more youth and more young people. And I say that because as I'm aging, I started this movement about 11 years ago. As I'm aging, there's things that I don't know that the younger generation is coming up on. Things have changed drastically in 10 years. So much has changed in 10 years, especially when it comes to the youth lived experience. So I think it really comes down to taking the time to, as I mentioned earlier, to understand the industry, understand what's happened in the past, and really use what's happened in the past to inform the future that's coming. How young people can get more involved is you really have to not be afraid of starting anywhere, starting from a volunteer position. That's how I started. And understanding all the different things that are related to the arts industry. So for example, in any art business, you're always gonna have product development or people who are developing services or art in and of itself. There are promoters, there are marketers, people that help push it. There are people who distribute the work. There are people who work in social media. There are people who work in videography to document it. And most of that is kind of across the board. And I think for young people to really be in those leadership positions, don't be afraid to take on different positions that you can learn a lot about the arts industry as a whole. The more you know, the easier it is for you to kind of lead and be able to guide people and to learn different things that you may not necessarily be interested in. And I think the last thing for young people to really take leadership is we really have to take the time to sit with our elders. Although things have changed from when they were younger, to understand their lived experience is to know that they paved the path that now allows us to continue walking on this particular path. And we then will also have the opportunity to pave a path for the next generation that's going to come after. So for young youth leaders, sit with elders and know that you are the bridge between the elders that have come before you and the young people that are coming behind you. So you get to be that middle child, in a sense, to really share that wisdom, to bridge that information and ensure that the wisdom continues, that it doesn't end with the elders that came before us, but that it only continues and grows further.
So who is someone that you believe is providing great youth leadership for the arts?
There's so many. I have a lot of people in my community that are doing incredible work. One person that comes to mind, his name is Ian Kedekou. He is a Toronto-based poet and a professor at OCAD, director. He does a lot of different things. He recently released a poetry animation film on CBC Gem with some youth between the ages of 9 and 19. And it was really beautiful to see what he was able to do because he was showing the next generation of poets that they could really make money off their art, and they put them on a national scale, which was CBC Gem, right? So that's quite incredible.
During the pandemic, everyone was at home consuming films, music, and other forms of art. So do you think people value artists more now?
I think people definitely value artists more now. And it's interesting you said, I love the fact that you said that. Like, so I'm really happy you said that, because I think it was during the pandemic where most people realized movies are art. That's acting, that's directing, that's cinematography, it's photography, it's fashion. There's so many things that go into it. But our day-to-day basis is so rooted in art. When we eat food, that is culinary art. When people cook, that's culinary art. When we wear clothes, that's fashion. That's an artistic practice in and of itself. When we listen to music, that is art. Even when it comes to our phones and apps, that's artistic, that's creative work too. So the world around us is so artistic. And it reminds me of a book called Big Magic, which is just to create a relationship with creativity, to build a relationship with creativity. And it's written by Elizabeth Gilbert. So I definitely think a lot of people have been more connected to art since COVID, whether they're cognizant of it or not.
Is there a poem that is your favorite or a poet you're inspired by?
I'm really inspired by a number of different poets. One poet that I'm really inspired by is actually Edmonton's poet laureate, Titi Lope Sunuga. She is a talented beast. I love what she has done and what she continues to do. She is an incredible poet, incredible talent. She really inspires me personally. And I would say there's Dwayne Morgan, who's a mentor for me as well. There's Lillian Allen, who's been a mentor and a support for me as well. But I'd say last but not least, one of my favorite poems of all time would probably be Amethyst Rocks by Saul Williams. He's just, I mean, it's Saul Williams, so I'll let the name speak for itself.
The Poet Laureate of Ontario Act, in memory of Gord Downie, 2019, SO 2019 C16. Randall Adjaye be appointed Poet Laureate of Ontario.
Gives me great pleasure to introduce Randall Adjaye as Ontario's first Poet Laureate.
What was it like to be the first Poet Laureate of Ontario?
For me, to be appointed and named the first Poet Laureate of Ontario, it was an extremely gratifying feeling, because when I was younger and I told people I loved that I wanted to be a poet, most of them said that I was too smart, or that there was no money in poetry, or that I couldn't do it, or that I should do something else. And I'm just happy that I didn't listen to them. And for anyone listening, when you have a goal, when you have a dream, when you have a vision, so many people who do not see your vision will tell you to do something else. Because your vision of you and what you're destined to do is different from their vision of you. And that is why they will never understand what your vision is. So becoming the Poet Laureate of Ontario reminded me to stick to your vision. It reminded me to keep going. It reminded me to be a light for other poets for other artists, especially Black artists, to be honest with you, just so they can see themselves reflected. I didn't see a lot of representation when I was younger, and I wanted to ensure that by being in this position that I could use this platform to ensure another wave of talent has a representative, someone they can see and know that it's possible for them to achieve their dreams as well. So I'm grateful. I got to celebrate it with my parents, both there, and they were very proud. And there's a whole community behind me that's excited and really, really grateful to see me here.
And now I'd like to read out some poetry that I've written. I started writing and performing poetry after watching Amanda Gorman's 2021 inaugural poem speech, The Hill We Climb.
We must first put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true.
She inspired me to start writing poetry, and it became an outlet for me to share my feelings and reflect on life as a young person and the society I live in. I love storytelling and mixing my performance and music skills with poetry and spoken word, and I'm happy to share with others. My poem is called A Pause, which is all about introspection and taking the time to appreciate the moments in our lives when we're surrounded by the people we love or environments we're in. Just simply dissociating from the distractions and chaos of life and savoring the beautiful moments in life. A pause. Taking everything in. The moment it begins to sink into your skin, waft into your nose and alert your senses, demolish your fences and put down any defenses to lessen the expenses so you don't face the consequences of this fraction of time. When reality resumes to displease you and thoughts climb into the house and commit crime, take everything in and let it stick like glue. Every good feeling is true. The moments we come to.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Youth for Youth. This episode was edited by Michael Allen. The show's associate producer is Yasmin Duale, and the executive producer is Sheena Rossiter. Alana Hamilton is the creative lead and the project manager for the Walrus Lab. Mihira Lachman is the director of the Walrus Lab. And your host is Ziga Poramon. Thanks so much to Randella J for joining us this week. Music for this podcast is provided by Audio Jungle. Our theme songs are This Funky Podcast Theme by Leo Sound and Podcast Theme Vlog by Premium B. Additional music is Chill Acid Jazz by Daggered. You also heard Minimal Background, Elegant Ambient Science, and This Corporate Ambient Background by Coma Media, Calm Chill Inspiration, and Optimistic Minimal Media Background by Coma Studio. And you also heard the track Life is Strange by Matterfan. Additional sources for this episode were provided by ABC News and LeeWee68. Don't forget to subscribe to Youth for Youth from the Walrus Lab on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review and rating. It really helps people find the podcast. The Walrus Lab thanks the Rossi Foundation for generously supporting this podcast series. Thanks for tuning in.